What a joy it is to be here this morning and to sense the presence of Almighty God in this service today. We want to say a special word of gratitude to our esteemed Brother Adams for being here. This service is most meaningful to me in many ways. I had one pastor for 18 years, and that was my father. And my next pastor was Brother Joe Adams. And he endeared himself to me so very much, as he was the pastor at that time of the University Assembly of God Church in Waxahachie, where I was attending college. Such a delight to have you here and accept this challenge from you today, Brother Adams. If you have your Bible, I want you to turn with me to Joshua chapter 1. Joshua chapter 1 for our scripture reading this morning. Couple of announcements. There is an afterglow in the gymnasium following the service. We'd like for you to bring some finger foods, sandwiches, chips and dip, that kind of thing. Following the evangelistic service this evening, our Brother Adams will be ministering in that service. We want to extend to each of you a special invitation to come and join us for a time of food and fellowship. Tuesday morning, there will be a WM meeting, and they do have a speaker scheduled for this particular meeting here at the church at 9:30. We want you to make plans, ladies, to attend that. I'm reading now from the book of Joshua, chapter 1. Now, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun, Moses' minister, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give them, even to the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot should tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. There shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee, nor forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land which I swear unto their fathers to give them. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, for thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. Let us, for this beautiful congregation, for these people that you have placed under our charge, and we ask you this morning, O Father, to anoint us now with the mantle of thy Spirit. And may we share this morning the message of the hour, the mission of our church today. May we challenge and uplift your people. In thy name we ask, in Jesus' name, amen.
The text, Joshua chapter 1. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan. I believe the first lesson that we can learn from the message that God spoke to Joshua so long ago is that God's people are to be a people who are on the move, a people who are to go forward in every avenue of life. The word of the Lord came to Joshua, arise and go over this Jordan. God does not want us to be the victim of circumstances. God does not want us to be burdened down or oppressed with a variety of problems. God wants to make a way for His people always to go forward and through every trial or tribulation that they might encounter. Now, Israel had been reminded on various occasions of the dangers of reaching plateaus. How many of you know what a plateau is? That's like a mesa, the top of a mountaintop that is so flat. And plateaus are there, but they are not intended in our spiritual experience or in the growth of a church to be a resting place or a permanent stopping place. Oh, it's nice to scale the mountain and to reach that plateau and see the beautiful scenery, and you can see so far from there, and you can turn and look back and see how far you have come. But the plateau is not the crest of the mountain. The plateau is not the place for us to stop, but it's a place for us to catch our breath and then to journey ever onward. On Mount Seir, the word of the Lord came in Deuteronomy chapter 2, verse 3, and God spoke to Moses, and He told the children of Israel, "You have compassed this mountain long enough." Minister friend of mine by the name of Don Malo wrote a book a number of years ago and chose that text and wrote the book entitled Stop the Merry-Go-Round. And in that message, he described how that the children of Israel had reached that plateau, and for 40 years they had gone around that mountain. And then one day the word of the Lord came to Moses that you've compassed this mountain long enough. Now it's time to go onward and to go ever upward in the things of God. Yes, plateaus are not a permanent stopping place. Oh, plateaus are pleasant. It's good to be there. It's nice to catch your breath and to rest on our laurels a moment and to recount the good things that have happened. But we are not to stop there indefinitely. For you see, if we do so, plateaus can become very perilous to us. David reached a plateau in his spiritual experience. He had become a giant killer. He had accomplished great feats for the kingdom of God. He was now king of Israel. But when all the kings went out to war and it was time to tend to the king's business, on the housetop, he reached a plateau. He sat down to rest, and it was not long till he found himself in great difficulty. God wants us to rest, but He doesn't want us to be idle. He doesn't want us always to stay there. But the call comes this morning for the people of God to determine we are going forward. If you believe it this morning, say amen. The story is told, it's an old fable about a flock of geese that one fall had decided to stop over in a particular farmer's barnyard on their way north. And it was a very nice barnyard. The chickens were feeding and there was an abundance of corn and it was so very comfortable there. And they just liked it so well that they decided to winter there instead of flying on to the north. The summer came and they had grown fat and lazy on the farmer's corn and all of the conveniences of the barnyard, and it was so comfortable that they didn't fly south. And a generation or so went by, and they would stand around in the barnyard, and the old gander would tell about how they used to migrate and how they were able to fly such long distances to the north and to the south, and how that they always were right on course, and there was within them that innate ability to always arrive on schedule at the proper place and in the proper time. When the old gander was through strutting and talking about the good old days, then they would all shake their heads and agree with him, but they would go right back to the barnyard. For see, they had become so accustomed to the conveniences and to the comforts of their environment that they were denying their God-given instinct to arise and soar into the heavens and to accomplish the purpose that God had created them for. I want to challenge you, and I stand here to challenge myself this morning. May we never forget
the God-given abilities and talents that God has granted to us, to always utilize them to our best ability, and not become so accustomed to this world and the comforts of this life that we lose sight of the eternal destiny that God Almighty has prepared for a glorious church without spot and wrinkle. For Jesus declared, "If I go away, folks, I'm coming again to receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." Church, this morning we're going somewhere. We are pilgrims and strangers in this world. We do not belong here. We were created and destined for an eternity with Almighty God. And when the trumpet sounds, let us not become so entangled with the things of this life that we fail to make the rapture of the church and rise to meet the Lord in the air. That's our goal. That's our destination. That is our destiny, to rise and meet Jesus when he calls. I believe the second lesson we can learn from this word to Joshua is that the church today is not only to go forward, but the church must go forward scripturally. Look at Joshua 1 and 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then shalt thou have good success." You know, ladies and gentlemen, God always has a plan. God is the master designer, and he has a plan for your life, and he has a plan for my life. And that plan is outlined in the holy sacred scriptures that we have read this morning. God wants us to go ever onward and upward, but God wants us to go onward in his way. God wants us to go forward according to his plan and according to his schedule. Joshua found that God had a plan for parting the waters of Jordan's river. The feet of the priest were to step out bearing the ark into that water. And when the feet of the priest stepped into the water, then the waters would part and the whole congregation could go forward. God had a plan when he spoke to Noah that this world was about to be destroyed by a flood. And he knew exactly how wide the ark was to be built, exactly how many rooms and windows it was to have in it, only one window looking upward. There was a specific plan given. And as Noah followed the plan from the word of God, he followed that plan to the saving of his household and the preservation of the human race. And you're here this morning alive because Noah obeyed the plan of God. God had a plan, and he called Moses, and he told Moses to build the tabernacle. And Moses built the tabernacle from the blueprint sent from heaven. Specifications were given. Every man there had their job to do. Everyone knew where they were supposed to be appointed at their post of duty. And the tabernacle was constructed according to the plan of the tabernacle in heaven itself, where the presence of God would forever dwell. God doesn't do things by accident. God doesn't do things slipshod or half-heartedly, but God has a plan. And mister, this morning I assure you, God has a plan for this church. God wants us to go forward. And brethren, it's your responsibility, it's my responsibility, that upon our knees we ask God to reveal to us his plan for the future of this church. Do you believe it? Say amen. Hallelujah to God. We want to go forward scripturally. God has a plan for us. Let's read his word. Let's search the scripture and discover that plan. We must go forward scripturally. I believe that the scriptural plan for the church today is threefold. First, God wants this church to have a mission. And in this mission of the church, it's threefold. In a hurried society like today, God is challenging you, and God is challenging me this morning, that we make time to minister unto the Lord, that we take time to worship and adore our Lord Jesus Christ. In Acts chapter 13, verse 32, the author of that book, the beloved physician, Dr. Luke, indicated that the church ministered unto the Lord. Sometimes we think that ministry is just something the pastor does, or ministry is just something the choir does, or the Sunday school teacher, or an elder, or a board member. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to assure you that ministry unto the Lord is something every man, woman, boy, and girl can and should do. We should worship the Lord. We should minister unto Him with praise and thanksgiving. God has always wanted a people who would worship Him. He spoke to the woman of Samaria and said that God is spirit, and they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. Worship is love expressed. Worship is a demonstration of our affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when I think of love and I think of demonstrations, we can talk about love all morning. You can write all kinds of love letters. But when you reach out to that person you're married to, and you enfold her gently into your arms, and you kiss her, that is a demonstration that is worth a thousand words. Amen? You have demonstrated something that is within your heart. We can talk about worship. We can talk about church plans and church finances and what the church is supposed to be doing. But the thing that God wants to see happen within these four walls every week is for us to come and to demonstrate to Him our love and our affection and our adoration for our Redeemer, the Lord Jesus Christ. I read that Mary, the mother of Jesus, ministered. She ministered in that upper room. She ministered when the news of the angel came that she was to be the mother of our Lord. In the Magnificat, in Luke chapter 1, verses 4 and 6, we read there how that she lifted up and she said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior." Saints, this morning, that's ministry to the Lord. When we begin to magnify His name, when we begin to exalt His name, when we get happy and we begin to rejoice in our Savior, that's ministry unto the Lord. Mary of Bethany knew what it was to really worship and what it was to minister to the Lord. We read how that she came and she knelt at the feet of Jesus, and she wept, and she anointed His feet, and she dried His feet with the tears of her hair. She ministered there while her sister was busy fixing the lunch and the meal, and comes in and says, "Jesus, don't you see that I'm just worked to a frazzle? I'm just exhausted, and Mary's not helping me at all. I'm just running around in circles trying to get everything done on time, and here Mary's just sitting in here talking with you." Jesus looked at Martha, and He said, "Martha, Martha, you're busy and bothered about many things, but Mary hath chosen that good thing." Mary was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Dear saints, let us remember to make time in our busy schedule to sit at the feet of Jesus, to open our heart and our mind to Jesus and worship and adore Him. The mission of this church today is a mission of ministry to the Lord. So often Sunday school teachers and pastors, we get so busy ministering for the Lord that we forget to minister unto the Lord. But oh, when we're continually giving out, when we're continually stretching ourselves, when we're continually sharing, we must make time to receive from Him and offer Him words of praise and thanksgiving. Watchman Nee wrote, and he said, prayer expresses my desire, but worship expresses God's desire. The story is told with the late President Abraham Lincoln, how that as he was receiving guests into his office during the course of the day, finally a small elderly lady came to the door and entered his office. The tall president looked at the little lady and he said, what can I do for you? She looked up at the big, huge, tall president and she replied, Mr. President, I have not come to ask any favor for myself or make any request for anyone else. But Mr. President, I heard that you like cookies. And I have brought for you today just a box of cookies. History tells us that the president stood there speechless for a moment. Tears began to stream down his cheeks in gratitude. And he looked at that little woman and he said, ma'am, thousands of people have come into this office since I have been president. But you were the very first and only one that has ever entered here asking no favor. Ladies and gentlemen, how many times we come to the house of God, our hands go up, I have a need. We come to the altar to pray and we pray, Lord, give me this, and Lord, I need that, and God, we need this. But oh, how seldom we enter His house simply to minister unto the Lord and say, Lord, I've not come asking any favors this morning, but I've come to give words of appreciation and thanksgiving for the abundance that you have already blessed us with. Ministry unto the Lord is a mission of our church today. And as we worship the Lord fervently, people will be drawn to this assembly. As this choir ministers to the Lord as they sing, people will be uplifted. As we minister to the Lord in worship, souls will become under conviction, and they too will want to join us in worship and adoration of our King. Worship is giving God something. In 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 28 and 29, give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory, do His name. Bring an offering and come before Him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. When Abraham went up to Mount Moriah to worship, he took his son to sacrifice. Oh, when the wise men came to Jesus and found Him wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger, when they came to worship this new King of Kings, they brought gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. I challenge you this morning, church, let us come to the Lord and give Him words of praise. Give Him the sacrifice of our lips, which is thanksgiving, and give Him the sacrifice of our efforts. Never let us be guilty of giving God our leftovers or second best, but let's always render unto the Lord the glory that is due unto His name and the very first fruits of our labor. The secondfold mission of the church this morning is that not only would we minister to the Lord, but that this church might minister to the saints of the Lord. Ephesians 4:11 and 12 has been read already today, and He gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. The church is to be a self-perpetuating living organism. It's not just an organization or a fraternity that you join or disassociate at will, but this is a living organism. You are a vital part of the body of Jesus Christ. And there are many times when trial and test or persecution have come to our world that it seemed that the body of Christ was bruised, bleeding, and dying, or even dead. But like the physical body of Jesus, this church will not stay dead. This church refuses to stay in the grave. The body of Jesus is always resurrected on the third day. We who are members of the body, we may suffer, we may, as it were, die under persecution or trial or testing, but if we hold on in faith, there will be the dawning of a new day in which we are revived, in which we are uplifted and made alive again in Christ. Hallelujah. We are to minister to one another in love. We are to minister for the edification of the saints. Hallelujah. Who are the saints? Not those that have been canonized by the Catholic Church. Not those that have been chosen or appointed to post of duty or special responsibility. But if you're here this morning and you're born again and you have Jesus in your heart, you are a saint of God. You have been called to be saints, the Bible tells us, to be set apart from this world unto God. So you have a ministry this morning. What is that ministry? Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor, to bind up the brokenhearted, and on the list goes of the things that Jesus was to do in his flesh while he was here. Jesus has been taken into glory, but he has left you as his representative on this earth. And what Jesus did, sir, you and I are to do today. We're to love one another. We're to build one another up in the most holy faith. We are to share this gospel with the brokenhearted, with those that are desperate and in need. We're to loose the captives, and we're to preach the light of the gospel that blinded eyes can be opened. You, too, this morning have a ministry. It may just be giving a smile, shaking a hand, inviting some stranger that's here this morning to go home with you. But there's something you can do to minister to a friend and to a fellow believer in the body of Christ. What does the church minister? It doesn't minister just silver and gold. Peter said in the book of Acts chapter 3, as he approached the gate of the temple, there was a man laying there who was lame, and he was begging. And he asked an alms of Peter. Peter and John looked at him, and he said, silver and gold have I none. He must have been a Pentecostal preacher. He had none. But, he said, such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ. Rise up and walk. And that man received strength and healing that day, because the saints ministered that they had. God wants us to minister today. He wants us to minister Jesus Christ and him crucified. He wants us to minister the holy word of God, to preach the whole counsel of God. He wants us to minister the sacraments, water baptism, Holy Communion. These are means of communication with our Heavenly Savior that draw us closer to him than ever before. The church ministers the things that endure, things such as faith, hope, and charity. A world that is hopeless is looking to the church today to provide that eternal optimism that will lift them out of the depths of sin and will lift up fellow church members when they become discouraged and encourage them in the Lord. Hallelujah. We minister faith to one another. Don't talk doubt. Talk faith. We minister hope to one another. Lift one another up. Affirm one another in the body of Christ. And together we will grow strong. And together we will go forward as we minister one to another. Oh, I'm no Lone Ranger preacher. I'm no Lone Ranger Christian. I'm not about to get all the jobs done that need to be done around here. I need some of you to minister to me as a member of the body, as I strive to minister to you. As Aaron and Hur held up the hands of Moses so that the victory was won, I challenge some of you this morning, covenant with me, that you will pray that the ministry of this church will go forward under the anointing of the Spirit of God. How do we minister? We don't minister just with our talent. We minister with supernatural spiritual gifts. In Corinthians, the first book of Corinthians, chapter 12, verse 7 through 10, is a catalog of those spiritual gifts. Gifts of utterance such as prophecy and tongues and interpretation. Gifts of faith and miracles and healings. Gifts of the word of wisdom and the word of knowledge and discernment of spirits. Oh, what the world is crying for and in need of today is supernatural ministry. Our God is a God who specializes in the supernatural, sir. He is not confined or limited by our frailties. He is omnipotent, and He wants to impart to you, friend, some good spiritual gift that you can become an effective ministry, an effective minister in the body of Christ. You see, ministry is not just confined to the pulpit or to the preacher, but God has a gift to share with you from His Holy Spirit that will uplift and encourage this entire congregation if you will be yielded and submissive and obedient to the promptings of the Holy Spirit. God will use you. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Ministry to the saints. And the threefold mission of our church is ministry to the world. It was Karl Marx, the proponent of socialism and communism, that made the statement, "The philosophers have only interpreted the world. The point is to change it." Most things I cannot at all agree with Karl Marx upon, but this statement I can agree upon. The need today is not to discuss the problems of our world, but the need today is for you and I to be led of the Holy Spirit of God to change our world and make it more Christ-like. I agree, this world needs changing. We cannot do it just through education. We cannot do it just with social giveaway programs. But what the world is dying and crying for is for Jesus Christ to become so real and so vibrant in your life and in my life, sir, that wherever we go, a little bit of Jesus will touch their lives and transform them. What the world needs is Christ. And what the church needs is that special anointing of the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus promised His church, "You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost parts of the earth." This is the great commission that you and I, as part of the church, are commissioned to go into all this world with a demonstration of the love of God. Go with love. Go with power. Go with the Holy Spirit. Go and preach the good news and teach and testify. Never underestimate the value of your personal testimony of what Jesus has done in your life. It can be the means of leading someone else to the same kind of glorious experience. Go, He said, to Jerusalem. What is Jerusalem? It was the religious center of the world. Jerusalem, that place that God loves. You and I are sent to our religious world. We should open our doors and we should invite Methodists and Baptists and Catholics and Church of Christ and everyone else that doesn't speak in tongues. We want them to know they can find a new experience in God at this altar. We should minister to the religious world of our community. Go to Jerusalem, the religious world. Go to Judea. What was Judea? That was the outlying areas. That was the providence. I like to think of that as those palatial and affluent suburbs outside the metropolitan area of Jerusalem. Go to the affluent. Oh, let us never think of ourselves as timid or backward or second-rate citizens, but you go and you share this gospel with anyone and everyone. We marched into the city hall this week and sat down in the mayor's office and gave him a personal invitation to be here this morning. It so happened he was unavailable, but I took a rain check. He said, maybe I can come another time, and I said, I'll be back. I want him here. I want him to hear an anointed choir sing. I want him to hear a Pentecostal message preached. I want him to hear Spirit-filled people pray. There's no one who does not need to hear this message of the Pentecostal power of God today. Let us go to the affluent suburbs. And he said, go to Samaria. What was Samaria? That was a place of mixed populations. The Jewish people despised the Samaritans. And the commandment from Jesus himself was, you get down to Samaria. Jesus had already been doing some missionary work in Samaria. He had reached down to the very lowest of the low and saved the worst of sinners in Samaria there at the well. And by the time that Philip gets back to Samaria, they start having a great revival in Samaria. Oh, I know that even in our city, there are sections of our city that the devil seems to hold. There are places in this city that demonstrations of evil are prevalent. But I challenge you this morning, church, let's invade the devil's territory. The scripture says the gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. We're to go even unto Samaria. To those that seem hopeless or those that seem helpless, we're to go with this message of love and grace that God wants to reach out to you today and fold you into a part of His body. Hallelujah to God. There's place for everyone in the kingdom of God. There's no one too rich or too poor, or regardless of their color, but what God wants to engulf you and make you a part of this great assembly, a part of His church. Hallelujah. A threefold ministry under the uttermost parts of the earth. Oh, I thank God for 1,100 missionaries in 93 countries around the world. But God may want to send you to the 94th country. And if you're obedient to God and you listen to His voice, I believe that out of this congregation, such a transient congregation, Brother Adams, we'll be sending people at the government's expense around the world just any day now. And God wants you to go, friend, with the message that Jesus saves, Jesus cares. And you're not just in the army, you're in the Lord's army. And He's giving you orders to go into all the world. And isn't it wonderful? We don't even have to take a missionary offering for them. The government's paying the bill. But you're going to go and you're going to share this good news of Jesus Christ around this world. This is our mission. Ministry unto the Lord. Ministry to the body, to fellow Christians. Ministry to the lost who know not our Savior. This is our great commission. We learn finally from the words that God spoke to Joshua that not only is the church to go and to go forward in mission, to go forward scripturally, according to God's plan, but the church is to go forward courageously. I don't know what tomorrow holds. I don't know what the future may bring. But I know, as Aristanchel wrote so long ago, I do know who holds tomorrow. God spoke to Joshua, that young minister, and he said in verse 9, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage. God knows about tomorrow, sir. But God will be there when you face tomorrow's problems. God looked at the huddled masses of Israel under Joshua's leadership, and He knew when it was going to be time to go across Jordan, the river was going to flood that very day. God knew about it in advance, but He said, go forward anyway. And as they stood on the banks of that rolling, rushing river at flood time, when they got their feet wet, God parted the waters. And when you and I obey God and start going forward, He will dissolve the difficulties and problems that come before us. God knew all about Jericho. He knew how high the walls were, how wide they were, and how many trained soldiers were on the inside of that city. But what Jericho did not know was the God of Israel, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Moses that not only parted waters but brought down walls and barriers. Oh, I'm praying, God, help us to see barriers come down, obstacles that we struggled with in the past. God, move them out of the way that your people can go forward and upward and fulfill your promises. God knew that there were giants in that land. There were some people that had lived there that had troubled every invader before. No one had successfully wrested their country from them. And children of Israel 40 years before had said, "Don't you realize, Moses, we look like grasshoppers in comparison to them." But Joshua and Caleb had faith. And Joshua leading the children of Israel, and Caleb challenging the youth of Israel, said, "Give me this mountain." With all the giants, with all the difficulty, they conquered it for Christ. God wants you and I to climb mountains, to scale heights, to kill giants, to solve problems that heretofore have been unsolvable. And it can happen as we pray and as we remain united in faith to get the job done for Almighty God. God looked into the hearts of Israel, and he saw there, before it ever occurred, a man by the name of Achan, a man whose heart was filled with greed, a man whose spiritual life was topsy-turvy, a man who would plunge himself and his family in sin and the whole nation into jeopardy right in the ranks of Israel. God still said, "Go forward. No, we're not perfect yet. Oh, some of us, we need to do some improving. We haven't apprehended, we haven't attained, we haven't achieved the ultimate goal, but we're the saints of God. God ain't through with us yet, if you'll let me use that expression. God's got something more to do in your life and mine, and he will bring us together, and he will work through his Spirit for the perfecting of the saints." Hallelujah. No one's looking around, and Christians are praying, and our musicians are slipping the instruments to play softly. You are here this morning not by accident, but by the providence of God. God has ordained that you would hear this message, and God wants to do something special in our church. Yes, but he also wants to do something special in your heart and life. If you're here and it seems this morning you've been going in circles, things are just falling to pieces in your life or your home. Things are not what they should be. You've reached some kind of plateau in your life and you're really not satisfied with what's taking place in your heart. This morning I want to open this altar to you, friend. I want to invite you to one who specializes and doing things we think are impossible. Oh, and no matter how great your problem, no matter how far away God may have seemed when you got here this morning, I promise you, he's right here beside you now. And if you'll meet him in faith at this altar, he'll save your soul, he'll solve your problem, he'll change your life. And while we wait just a moment, we want to open this altar to you. God wants you to come forward now. God wants you to make an expression of faith, to renew your vow to him, to go ahead and step out in courage and let Jesus Christ begin a new and a fresh work in your heart. If you're here this morning and you don't know the Lord, or you've drifted away from him, we're going to wait just a moment for you to come. Hallelujah. Step out from where you are and make your way to this altar. Come. You're here this morning. You have a need. You have a problem you're wrestling with, and you're not going to be able to solve it without the help of God. This morning, we want to wait just a moment, give you time to come first to this altar and find a place to seek God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go forward. Go forward. There's something better for you. There's something better in your life. Oh, the devil would lie to you. He would cheat you. He would rob you of a blessing. But this morning, Jesus calls in his love, and he says, "Come forward. Come on to God.
Hallelujah. Let these dear saints minister to you at this altar. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah to Jesus. Hallelujah to Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. Glory to God. Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for all that you're going to do today. We thank you for this blessed church. We thank you for these lovely people. We thank you, dear Lord, for the privilege that we've had to share your word this morning. We thank you for the mission that is ours and is theirs to lift up Jesus in this community. And I ask that that special anointing of God would go upon us this morning. Wherever we go, Lord, may we go in faith. May we go in courage. May we go with the love of Jesus to reach out to the needs in this city. In thy name we ask your blessings upon your people. God, we love them this morning and we commend them into your care. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you. Greet our guest. Have fellowship one with another. We hope to see you in this service tonight at 6 o'clock.